The man in my window. Everything in this story really happened. It all started when I moved in with my sister in her new house. I was given the smallest room, but it had a small door on the wall. I never went in there at first, but curiosity took over me like I had just had to see what was behind that door. When I opened the door, I grabbed the flashlight because it was pretty dark and I couldn't see. I went inside the little room. It was filled with cobwebs like no person had been there in a very long time. It was creepy in there until I noticed the floorboards, like they had something put under them. I struggled to lift them, but when I did, I really wish I hadn't, because what was there scared me. It was a drawing that looks like it was made by a little kid. It was of a man that was really tall with no face, and there was no word at the bottom of the piece of paper. The man in my window. After I read this, I was scared even more than I was before. I was so scared that I dropped the paper and left the small room. I didn't sleep for weeks, not because of what I said, but what it felt like, that I was being watched or something, and something bad was going to happen to me or others. When this stopped, I decided to go back into the little room. When I did, I found more under the floor. I found pictures that looked like a little girl about 5 years old and an old teddy bear. After that, I left, not wanting to go back again. I tried to calm down, and when I went on my phone while sitting on my bed, I turned it off. I could see a reflection behind me in the window that looked like the man in the drawing. I turned around to see that it was real. I screamed at the top of my lungs until my sister ran to my room to see it. After that, we moved out of that house and very far away. But I still get the feeling that someone is watching me, and sometimes I see the man in the distance. To this day, I am still scared of what I saw. The creepy guy in my window. So this happened when I was 12 years old. I was alone in my room, chatting with friends at 2 a.m. It was a few days before New Year's, so a lot of people were usually roaming the streets at night, going home from parties and such. My room had these curtains, which if my blinds weren't closed, you could see into my room. On this unfortunate night, I had forgotten to close my blinds, and I was sitting in my bed so any creep could come and peek into my fucking window and see me. Just a little note here. At the time, I lived on the first floor of an apartment complex with my family in a quiet town in Finland. I was in the middle of a conversation with my best friend when I heard a slight knock at my window. I ignored it, thinking it was just the cold winter air messing with the window. A few seconds later, I heard the knock again, but louder. This was when I made a big mistake. Me, being the paranoid-ass person I am, I did not check what was happening at my window. Just 10 seconds later, someone started violently banging at my window. I was scared shitless. I immediately moved to the corner of my room because at that moment, I realized I had not closed my blinds. The banging got louder and louder. I thought my window was going to break. At that moment, I should have rushed to my parents' room, but I was frozen. Soon enough, the man started yelling at my window. It was pretty much inaudible. He was clearly drunk. I could tell by his voice. Then he shouted so loud I could hear him, "Avanyetse paska kuna," which roughly translates to "open the fucking window." At that moment, I almost started crying until I heard my neighbor's dog barking. My neighbor always went on long walks at night with his dog, and thank God he came at the right moment. My neighbor started yelling furiously while his dog was still barking out of his mind. I heard them argue for a while until eventually it quieted down. I had to wait about 15 minutes until I could check the window again, and I have absolutely no idea what happened to the guy banging at my window. He just completely disappeared. And my neighbor never brought it up. At this moment, you might be thinking it was a dream, but I swear that it was not. I never told my parents. They still have no idea what happened that night, and probably never will. The man and the screen window. I'm a female, and the story I'm about to share with you happened almost 10 years ago. At the time, I was 17 years old, and like most teenagers my age, I was content to lock myself away in my room with my laptop and headphones. In autumn of that year, my parents went up north for the weekend. We live in Michigan, and the Upper Peninsula is famous for its scenery that time of year. I was left with the house to myself for the entirety of the whole weekend and thought nothing of it. I enjoyed my privacy and didn't mind being alone. Let me tell you about my house and where we lived. Our house is very old and a modest dwelling, 2 floors and a basement. All the bedrooms are on the first floor, since the second floor is an unfinished attic. The house itself is about 8 miles from the nearest town. The backyard is pretty large, with an even larger cornfield stretching for acres and acres, separating the property from the lake on the other side of the trees. The cornfield stretches partially around the house, creating a wall between our house and our neighbors to the east. It wasn't isolated by any means. There are 5 houses very near, one on each side of 3 across the street. A local hunter, a farmer, a retired couple, a construction worker, and the local preacher were the people I called neighbors. It's a quiet road, little traffic, and only the occasional coyote howl to disrupt the night. A nice, calm place to live. It was day 2 of my weekend alone. It was a chilly evening, so I shut my window and locked it before I huddled on my bed with my laptop. I've always been a big fan of urban legends, especially legends that have some truth woven into the tale. Truth always makes a good story better and makes a scary story all the more frightening. That night, I had no idea I was about to take part in my own scary tale. While zoning out on my laptop, watching horror videos and reading stories online, I heard an odd noise over my headphones. I pulled one speaker away from my ear and focused on the sound. The sound was coming from my window. My bedroom is a corner bedroom, and as a result, I have 2 windows. One window facing my neighbor to the west, and the second faced the backyard. It was the second window that had the strange noise. At first, I thought leaves and loose branches were getting blown against the screen, since it was fall and the weather in Michigan can get pretty harsh and unpredictable. But my reasoning didn't quite fit with the sound. It wasn't a banging or rattling. It was like metal wires snapping. I removed my headphones and used my laptop screen as a light to see where I was walking without putting glare on the window's glass. The curtains and blinds beneath were drawn, preventing anything outside from being able to see inside. I was nervous about looking outside. I was alone, and I had no idea what was going on. I hugged my wall as I slipped my fingers under the curtain slowly and carefully pulled down one of the blinds so I could look outside. There, standing in the darkness outside my window, was a person holding a knife, cutting at my screen. My heart skipped a beat as my blood ran cold. My instincts told me not to make a sound and stay out of sight. I slid down my wall and crawled on my hands and knees to my cell, sitting on the small table next to my bed. I called 911 and whispered everything to the person on the other line. I told them someone was outside my window and he had a knife and that I was alone. The operator stayed on the line with me and kept reassuring me that the police were on the way. I could hear my screen being cut open. I kept telling her I wanted to run, but she insisted I stay put and didn't make a sound. Suddenly, the snapping of the screen wires being cut stopped. I listened and almost screamed in fear when I heard a new sound. The knife was digging at the wooden frame of the window, and the man tried to pry it open from the outside. The motion light in the backyard suddenly flashed on seconds before the red and blue lights of the arriving police car shone through my other window. I listened carefully and heard someone running from the car to the backyard. I could also hear their radio clicking on and off as they checked the area. A loud knock at the front door made me jump. I heard a man call out for me, identifying himself as a cop. Still scared, I opened my bedroom door and crept down the hall. I peeked into the living room and didn't see anything. The knocking persisted, and the cop again identified himself. I peeked through the window of the front door and saw him standing there, his eyes still checking the yard. I flung open the door and almost pulled the cop inside my house, just so happy to see somebody else. He asked if I was okay and if I could give a description of the man I saw. I couldn't. He was wearing all black and had a hood pulled up, which shrouded his face. All I could do was describe the large hunting knife he used to cut my screen. His partner joined him on the front porch and told us he didn't see anyone in the area. I kept insisting on what I saw, and of course they believed me, since the patrolling cop saw damage on the screen. The cops did a second sweep of the property and made sure every single window was secure and that the doors were locked and the garage was secure. Before leaving, the cops told me they'd keep a patrol car in the area, but they were confident that whoever I saw wouldn't be back. They just figured it was some teenager who was trying to break through my window and got scared when the police car arrived. I thanked them and proceeded to double-check the locks for myself. I wanted to call my mom, but I knew my parents were already on their way home and would be back by morning. Unable to get back into my room, I chose to sleep on the couch in the living room and tell my parents as soon as they walked through the front door. About an hour later, I was finally able to relax and started to drift out on the couch. I heard a loud bang against my back door. I sat straight up and looked through the kitchen and to the back mudroom that leads to the back door. This time I knew I was in danger. I grabbed my cell and dialed 911 again. This time I ran back into the kitchen and grabbed a large knife from the butcher's block and huddled on the floor against the counter and cabinets. I pressed the phone to my ear. As the operator, a man this time, continued to talk to me so I didn't feel alone. I gripped the knife tighter and began mentally trying to psych myself up. If this man managed to get inside, would I be able to defend myself? He had a knife. Maybe that's why I grabbed one too. But I didn't know anything about him. How tall was he? How strong was he? Did I even stand a chance? I heard the wood on the door frame crack. The old door was locked on by a chain. One more hard kick could surely bring the door down, and then I didn't want to think about it. I prepared for the final bang for the door to give in, and for that man to attack me when I heard a voice yelling over the banging noise, "Get on the ground, drop the knife." "Oh, thank God," I said out loud, "the cops are here." The operator on the line, who had been speaking to me throughout the entire ordeal, continued to try and keep my calm. I listened to the cop order the man to drop the knife over and over again, but I just knew the crazy bastard wasn't listening. Then there was another bang, but it wasn't from someone kicking the back door, it was from firing a gun. It was silent, and time seemed to stand still. A gentle knock at the door drew my attention. The same cop as before was once again identifying himself at the door. I told the operator a cop was at the door and hung up. I opened up the door, and the knife still in my hand. The cop saw it and very calmly suggested that I put it down. My hand was gripping the knife so tightly that my knuckles were white and my fingers were cramped. When I dropped the knife, the cop escorted me from the front door into his car, which was parked in the side yard. Under the motion lights of the backyard, I could see his partner standing over the body of the man in black. I could see his knife lying on the ground just inches from his hand, and even from the distance I knew there was blood on the blade. The man himself looked like he had been dead for weeks. His hood had fallen from his face, revealing it to the night. He was white and impossibly pale. His skin was unnaturally aged with heavy wrinkles and lots of discoloration. His hair was long, stringy, and blonde. His eyes, still open, were sunken into his skull. I was taken to the police station to deliver a statement and to ensure that there were no other attackers on my property. When I told them everything I knew to the interviewing cop, another cop walked into the room with a file in his hands. He whispered something to the first cop and handed him the file. I asked the cop if they knew who the man was, and he nodded. I asked to know who he was and what he wanted. At first the cop didn't want to tell me, but I needed to know. I managed to coax him into telling me, and part of me wishes I had let it go. The man was a chronic junkie who abused any and all drugs he could get his hands on. He was also a violent schizophrenic with bipolar disorder. He used to live in the area until he was finally locked up in a mental hospital about 20 years prior. The act that got him locked away all of those years ago was a result of his attempt to burn down a local church, declaring that he was the true Son of God, and that all religious figures, priests, ministers, etc., were false prophets and tools of Satan. The cops figured that he was trying to break into my house because he thought it was where the preacher had lived. He had the wrong house and would have killed me anyway had he got in. After a moment of letting this sink in, I asked why the cops didn't see him the first time I called. His answer sent shivers up my spine, and now I never look at my backyard the same. He told me that the man had hidden in the cornfield the first time and was watching the house from between the rows. He had never left. He was always there, watching the house and waiting for the police to leave. He was truly crazy, and I'm glad he won't be around anymore. This is Spooky Boo. If you enjoyed listening to the stories, go ahead and click the like button. You can also subscribe to my channel and get stories to your mailbox almost daily. If you're interested in submitting your own story, visit my website at 707spookyboo22.com and click on the submissions page. I would love to read your story to the world.